You guys ready to get in the Word this morning? I hope so. We're not messing around. That's right. You live in the Word.
Yeah.
We're a Word church. You know, there's two pillars. I'm meditating on this. Two pillars that hold up the body of Christ. Two pillars? Where do you get that from? Well, we've been preaching on true worship. What did Jesus say? He said, you worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. And then another place he said, you err, or you make mistakes, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Two things, the scriptures and the power of God, the Spirit and truth. Well, we believe in both of those things here. I hope you understand that. Hallelujah. Well, do you know what day it is today? Resurrection Day. What's that mean to us? Well, Jesus, he was resurrected 2,000 years ago. Well, there's a whole lot more to it than that. Glory be to God. Would you go to the back so I don't yell at you? That's okay. Hallelujah. Wise lady. Wise lady. Glory be to God forever. Well, this should be a favorite day of Christians. You know what I mean? You know, and I don't know the authenticity about the accuracy of the day and what the time scope and all that other stuff. Who cares? You know, there would be people who judge you on that. Well, no, actually, it was the third day of the second month of the... Well, glory to God. Well, let's celebrate it then, too. I don't have to argue with them. Let's just celebrate that, too. What about yesterday on the other side of the earth? Was it the same day? I don't know. Who cares? We picked a day. Let's go with it.
Amen.
Glory be to God. You don't know what? Like I said, I've said this before. I'm feeling you out. I'm looking at you. I know some preachers, they're trained at Rhema. They taught us, you know, if you're nervous or whatever, look at an empty seat. I don't get anything from an empty seat. If you get nervous, you know, and they have all those other plans, you know, about, you know, think of everybody without their clothes on. That would just scare me.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Don't do that. You'd forget all your notes. But look at an empty seat or look, you know, look off beyond. And I'm like, well, how are you going to connect with anybody? I need to look in their eyes. I need to look in their spirits. I'm trying to connect with you so that I can dump something you need on the inside of you. Yes, amen. You know? So that's what I'm doing up here. I'm feeling you out. Hallelujah. Because this is going to get good. And my job up here is just to give a sermon so you can go home and feel good. No, my job is to put the word, the right word in you so that you change. When you leave here, you're a different person because you completely changed. And what did it? Me? No, the word of God. And you get into an anointing and you get into a place where you can put the exact word that somebody needs on the inside of them and they change. Not by what I said, but what the word says. Sometimes you'll get something completely different out of what I said than what I said. You'll say, man, that was great. When you talked about this, I was like, what? I didn't even say that. But you got something out of it. It's the word. One of those pillars. Jesus is alive. And so are you. Whether you know it or not, Jesus is alive, and I'm alive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Well, why don't you open up with me to Colossians chapter 2, and if you can today, I'm going to have you kind of keep your finger. I could have you open up to 10 different verses because you got 10 fingers, but I'm going to have you open up to this one. I want you to keep your finger there because I want to go back there a couple times. I don't always do this, but there's so much good stuff there, and I don't want to just dump it on you all at once. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to try to keep my place there too. Hallelujah. When you're there, we'll pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your holy written word. I thank you that this word is life. And we have found it. We love your word. We receive from your word. We speak of your word and we glory in your word. And Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to come in here right now and change people. Come and take up residence in them and on them and around them. Open their ears so they can hear and receive what you want to say today. Help me to speak what I'm supposed to say today. And we will go forward, Father, in Jesus' name, in the glory of God, in the power of God, and in the word of God. And we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory be to God. You're never going to be the same. Really? Yes. I just prayed that, and I believed when I prayed that I received it. So you're in trouble. You're never going to be the same. How can you say it? Because that's what the word says. Why even pray if we're not going to believe for something? What are you praying? A bunch of mumbo jumbo? Blabbity blabbity blah. You should just shut up unless you're going to pray something in faith. How can you talk like that? Because I'm tired of religious garbage, and this is the most religious day of Christians of the year. That and Mother's Day. Jane looks at me. Oh, Pastor, stop it. I'm serious. People get religious on that. And I got to, you know, you get up, you got to shake it off. I should have you all stand up and just shake. Shake it off. Get that religious junk off of you. That's not what we're here for. Are we? I hope not. Then I should have wore my pointy hat and we should have lit some candles. And had some chickens. I don't understand that. But glory be to God. I'm serious. This is reality. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
This is not religion. It's a fact. Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, you know, I've always had a problem with that. Then you aren't a believer. This is where it all, that's the crux of the whole thing. Jesus raised from the dead. If not, let's go play football or something. You can be the skins, I'll be the shirts. Jesus was raised from the dead. Do you understand that? The Son of God bled and died for your sins. And on the third day, he rose again. And there's a whole lot more that goes in that than just that. But that's the foundation. You don't serve, somebody said that earlier, you don't serve a dead Lord. You don't. He's alive. And he's the Son of God. He's at the right hand of the Most High God. Right hand, that means he's it. God's right hand man, it's right hand authority. Well, I got news for you, you're there too. And that's where we're going today. But first, we must know what Jesus did, that he was rose from the dead, raised from the dead. Where's my English? And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to go through some scriptures here today, and I'm going to lay them into you. You know, like it would be a mason. A mason, what does he do? He lays a foundation, and then he lays another brick on top, and then another brick on top. Until it settles and it's solid. So I'm going to lay some scriptures on the inside of you today that'll build faith and you'll be solid in this and you can't shake it. I'm telling you, the bricks God lays on the inside of you, they're eternal. You can't shake it. Do you know that? These things are eternal bricks and they're going to be on the inside of you so you'll be a pillar. He's making you a pillar. What kind of pillar is he making you? Spirit and truth. Same thing. Glory be to God. One brick at a time. One stone at a time. And if you can only handle a little bitty pebble, well, that's what I'm going to squeeze in there. Glory be to God forever. Are you ready? Yeah. Sounds like you're preaching already. Now I haven't even started. Jesus is Lord. And we already prayed. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Now underline that if you don't have it underlined. Through faith, through the faith of the operation of God. Through the faith of the operation of God. An operation? Is God doing operation? Well, it says so right there. Through the faith of the operation of God, him operating, him working. We have faith in what he did. That's what we need for the resurrection. You must have faith to believe that he was resurrected. And not just resurrected, yes, he rose up and disappeared. A whole lot more goes on there. Your faith in the resurrection will base how far you can go in your walk with the living God. When your faith in the resurrection and that operation grows, you become a different person. You become greater in authority. Yeah. You ready? Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you will in a minute. I'll be done, you know. I'm going to take you to the scriptures, and I'm going to lay this foundation on the inside of you. Faith in the operation of God. Where's faith come from? By hearing, and hearing the word. How are they going to hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing. So if you're going to have faith in the operation of God, guess what I'm going to talk about here? The operation of God when he raised Jesus from the dead. And your faith will grow and you'll be established in that operation. Hallelujah. You ready? I said I was ready 3 times ago. All right. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know everything's... Do you know that everything is in the... It's wrapped up in the resurrection? Everything. Your salvation, your healing, your prosperity, everything that you are and will be is wrapped up in from the cross to the throne. Everything. It's all wrapped up in there. Well, do we need faith in that? Yes. That's where your faith has to be, in the operation of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And when you're there, you have authority, same authority. Now, that's ahead of myself, but hang on. Ready? Are we going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead? This morning, you're going to believe more that Jesus rose from the dead than you ever... Can you believe in measures? Yeah. Yes. Can you? Yeah. What if Jesus himself stood... What about Thomas? He had wee faith. But did he believe? I don't know. He said he didn't. He was kind of upset, I think. But he was chosen. He probably had a little bit of faith. Isn't that what Jesus said? Small faith. Wee faith. Now come here and stick your finger in my hands and put it in my side. See? Did his faith increase after that? Absolutely. He believed more then. But we don't need that, because blessed is he that believes that hasn't seen. Just live by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And faith comes by what?
Hearing
by the... Jesus chastised all of his disciples and said, why don't you believe when the girls came back and told me? The girls came back from the grave and said, Jesus is alive. I saw him. And they were like, nah, that's over. Don't even remind me. These days have been too difficult. And they're like, no, we saw him. He told us to come and tell you. And then when Jesus showed up, he said, he chastised them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. What's wrong with you? I told you for 3 years that I was going to be crucified and raised from the dead. And it took you 3 days to be in complete disbelief. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Well, we do believe it. Glory be to God. And we're going to believe it more and more and more. Hallelujah. Resurrection. All right. Faith in the operation of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Sorry, Mark 16. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. What? The whole chapter? Yes, brother, the whole chapter. How long is that going to take? I got a roast to get to. Why am I going to do this? Because it's foundational, and I'm going to speak to your spirits. What part of you do you receive the word of God in? It's spiritual words. It's spiritual food. And if you're going to get faith, where's faith grow? Faith grows in your spirit, right? So don't listen with your head and try to analyze everything I say. Listen with your spirit, man, and you'll grow up and become strong. Hallelujah. Unshakable. Unflappable. Who says that? I've heard that before. Unflappable. Like flapping in the wind. Not me. Thank you very much. You ready? And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized and shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe: in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Flip back to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Verse 18 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Well, the devil's very powerful, brother. You must know that. He's powerful. Oh, he's got scary power. Especially on Halloween. The devil is so powerful. Brother, why do you talk like that? He might hear you. I know. Ha! That's why I do. What does the scripture say? "Some power, except for that which was left in the devil's hands, was given unto me." A little bit of power was given unto me now on earth. and in heaven. What do you think of that? Like, no, here is Jesus, Lord of all, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Where is all power now, according to Jesus the Lord? In him. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Now, if you go to hell, which you're not going to do, if I have anything to do with it, then you might see some power down there from the devil. He has the power to be mean. But as far as, right, I'm just going by this scripture here. What else could you go by? I don't know. I'm going by these scriptures. It says that Jesus was given all power in heaven and in earth. Let's say that. Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. That's good news, my friend, because he's your Lord. All right, glory be to God. We're getting somewhere. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 9. Did I ever tell you that Jesus the Lord was raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead. Oh, but then he died again later. No. He was raised from the dead, meaning from death. He was raised out of the power and control of death. No longer hold on him. Do you think he's worrying about death now? What if he tripped and fell on something? Right, that's funny, isn't it? That's ridiculous. Death has no more control over him, and we're going to see that. You there? Philippians 2:9. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What glorifies God the Father? People confessing that Jesus is Lord. Wake up in the morning and say, Jesus is Lord. You just glorified God. Hallelujah. Declare it on everything you have. Jesus is Lord over my wallet. How about yours? Jesus is Lord over my time. Oh, not that. Yes, my time. He'll give you more of it. Can God do that? God can do anything that you give him a license to. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. It gave him a name. He's God also highly exalted him. What do you think that name means? What if you know you were a king and you gave somebody the name of, oh, great one, or something. I mean, I guess I'm not real well versed in this. But if he dubbed you knight, I was going to say of the round table, but if he dubbed you a knight, he gave you a name, right? It's an exalted name. It's something you didn't have before. Before you were Joe. Now you're Knight Joe. It means something. It gives you some rank and some position. Well, here we have a name conferred upon Jesus that's above every name. Knight, ambassador, president, right? The name above even the name of a country that they write on their money because they're standing behind it. Jesus' name is above that. More authority has been conferred on him. That name. You still here?
Yeah.
All right. Glory be to God. God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name that every other name must bow to. Right? Every other name must give in to this one name, the name of Jesus. Right? He's seated at the right hand of God. He has this name, and anytime he wants to do something in his own name, it must bow. He's the Lord. It was conferred on him. Get on with it, brother. I am. You got to get this. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:13. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies thy footstool? He was comparing this authority that was placed on Jesus to the authority of all the heavenly host. Now, don't you know that in the kingdom of heaven, there's rank and file and order? And somebody in heaven's got greater authority than somebody else, right? The little love cherubs, the little naked baby love cherubs, they don't have much authority. But when Michael shows up in the name of the Lord, watch out, right? He shows up in his room, points his finger at you. Well, do what he says. Why am I saying this? Because Jesus was given a name in heaven. He said, sit on my right hand. He didn't do that to any of the other angels. Do you understand? There's authority in heaven. There's authority in the realm of angels, which even supersedes that of men in heaven. So God was clarifying here that he gave Jesus this seating above all the angels. Nobody disagrees with that, do they? Everybody knows. Well, why are you saying this? Because you have to understand the implications of this name and the seating that he's in. Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead and walked around the streets and had a latte. He was raised from the dead and seated in a position in heaven and earth and under the earth, the highest position possible. Everything else is under it. Every name that is named. Is the angel Michael a name? It absolutely is. And everything else has a name. What's greater than all the names? The name of Jesus and his seating in that name. When he was raised from the dead, where did he get seated? At the right hand of the Father in this highly, everybody say highly, highly exalted seat. The name of Jesus. Well, we just use the name of Jesus at the end of our prayer to let everybody know we're done. No, if that's what you're doing, then you are not giving full place and credence to this name that is at the right hand of the Father above all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Ephesians 4:8. Why are you going through so many scriptures? I told you, I'm laying one on top of the other. This is going to get embedded in you so that you can't shake it out. Go home and say, man, I'm trying to get that out of my head. I can't because it's in there. Glory be to God. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 8, hallelujah. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, when who? When Jesus ascended. Do you know he ascended? What do you have to do when you're raised from the dead? You have to ascend from the dead. But then he went even further, didn't he? He didn't just hang out on earth and set up an earthly kingdom. He ascended on high. And we just read a scripture that said it was exceedingly high. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now here's where, you know, some people don't like this. Jesus never went to hell. He had to. What would you do if you sinned and didn't receive Jesus as Lord? Where would you be? Where would you go? You would go down and not up. The lower parts of the earth. That's a nice way of saying he went down into hell. The verse preceding here said he led captivity captive. What does that mean? What's captivity? Prison. Exactly. People that are bound by the devil. He didn't just unbind them. He led the part that captured them captive. The captivity he captured. So where's the devil now? Why doesn't he have authority anymore? If Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and Jesus led captivity captive, he captured the captivity. We have people in bondage now that should not be. They're being lied to. The devil's lying to them, telling them, oh, no, you've got this, you've got that. No, I don't. Look at the word. The word says I'm healed. The word says I'm delivered. The word says captivity's been captured. What if the greatest enemy of your country was captured? None of us would go out in the street and have a big figurine and burn it in the streets. I don't know why, how they, where did they get those things? Figurine mart? You know, but in other cultures they do that. Did that go too far, brother? I don't know. But when he led captivity, if somebody of the United States, an enemy of the United States was captured, we'd all go, yeah. Glory to God. He's not a problem. Is he a problem anymore? No, he's been captured. Satan has been captured. When? Let's read it again. I don't know. Have you read this before? Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He descended down. He paid your price fully and completely, every one of us. And then when he came out of the grave and was ripped out of hell, he came up and he led captivity captive. The devil standing there with no power to do anything. Except wet himself, probably. Now that was too far, wasn't it? Don't get religious on me. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He led captivity captive. You ready? Turn over with me to Colossians 2. You still got your finger there? Or did it fall out? I mean, did your finger fall out of the book? Not did your finger fall out. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Glory be to God. And verse 15. And having spoiled. Now, do you know anything about English? Does you? Do you know anything about English? Having spoiled. Past tense, present tense, future tense. What is it? Past tense. It's past, man. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He led them captive. Now, this has got to be a real shaming part of Scripture. So if the devil's bothering you, you might want to read this out loud. What would you do? And this is, I'm just reading the Scriptures here. What would you do? You just captured some militia that's been plaguing your country for years. You captured them. They're captive now. He led them captive. What does that mean? He's got them in a line. He's leading them, marching them on. This is Jesus, my brother. He's leading these captives on, marching them openly, making an open display of them, triumphing over them in it. Here's the devil, Mr. Devil, quote, end quote, being led captive by the Lord Jesus Christ. Show, is this in the word or am I making this up? I'm not making it up, I'm just reading it. He's leading them captive, making an open show, triumphing over. And so we lead this militia openly on public TV down the street. These are the men that were plaguing our country. Chained up, march them down the street, right into, you know, wherever we're taking them. The court probably first. You see in this? What did Jesus do? No, Jesus was just raised from the dead. Then you didn't read this part. Because he led captivity captive. And then he made an open show of them. Publicly. Triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus is Lord. Still keep your finger there. Turn to Revelations 1:18. This is about Jesus that was raised from the dead, by the way. Now, was he just raised from the dead physically? He was raised from the dead in every possible capacity you could be. He went from the lowest point to the highest point, and everything in between is now subject to him and his authority and his name. End of story. Glory be to God forever. Revelations chapter 1. Verse 18. I am he, Jesus. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Who has the keys of hell and death? Satan can't even allow anybody in anymore. He can't control the door. He doesn't have keys. He's like, I can't even get around in my house anymore. He took the keys. And don't you know, as he was leading him captive, he had those keys in his hand. Leading the train with a jingly key. Hallelujah. Keys, plural. Circle that. You may need a key. You may have something locked up on you that needs to be unlocked. Well, who has the key? Well, the devil. He won't leave me alone. He doesn't even have the key. He doesn't have the keys anymore. Where's the key? And besides, is keys a name? Whatever key you need, brother. It's in the name of Jesus. He can't. Everything's worthless and useless to him anymore. He can't get around. He is really handicapped. Jesus is Lord. Did you see that? Yes. All right. Glory be to God. I'm going to read it one more time. Listen. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Colossians again. No, wait a minute. Keep holding your place there. Matthew 16. 16 verse 19. Hallelujah. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed into heaven. And now listen, okay? Here is where we have a transfer going on in this message and everywhere else. At some point, you've got to transfer all of this glory and authority and dominion that was placed into the lordship of Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God, you got to transfer that to yourself. Because whose name do you pray in? Jesus. Whose name do you live in? Jesus. Whose name were you raised up in? Jesus. How is he giving you the keys if he didn't have them? He has them. He's got the keys to heaven. He's got the keys to hell. He's got the keys to death. The keys to death? Yeah, that'd be a good key to have, right? All these keys are where? They're in his name. And he gave this name to somebody. He gave it to you. You've got the name. You've got the name. Alan, you got the name. What else do you need? Goodness. It's like going on a Christmas present. You got one thing under the tree. Just one thing. Oh, the small little box. But in it was the key to everything. I'm telling you, it's the key to everything. You don't believe me? You just do it. Believe the word. don't have to believe me. Believe the word. The word says in that name is all authority in heaven and earth. And we're going to get to how he gave it to you. But you're raised up in the same name. This is where it all that I just talked about. We all agree now that Jesus was crucified. He died. He went into hell. And he came out of hell leading captivity captive, made an open triumph, an open show of them. Triumphantly, and then ascended and set in the highest position in the universe. Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
That's where he's at right now. Where are you at? Whoa. Jesus is Lord. I like to say that even more now. Hallelujah. Where did I tell you to open up to? I said yes. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, we're having it. Now flip back over, Colossians. Now normally I don't like to do this, to flip back to one thing so many times. But like I said, I want this as a foundation on the inside of you. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Colossians 2 and verse 10 now. And you are complete in him. In who? Yes, in Jesus, specifically the name. In Jesus. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins and of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, who was raised with him? According to this verse of scripture, you were raised with him. You were raised with him. Through the faith of the operation of God. That's why we had to see exactly what Jesus did, exactly how he led all of these things that have been bothering us. He led them captive. Look at them. They're being captive. They're taken away. But as he ascended, you were taken away too. You ascended with him and are seated in him in the same place. That's the authority of the believer. The same authority that's in Jesus is in the least among us. The least in the body of Christ has greater privilege than anybody else. The least. All you have to do is say, Jesus is Lord, and you're in, my friends. But it's through faith in the operation. Some people don't see the operation, so they have no faith in it. What's the operation? Everything. He went from the lowest to the highest. Where did you go? The lowest to the highest. Well, now you're just being arrogant. No, I'm being scriptural. You're getting all high and puffed up. I'm trying to be all high and puffed up. According to the word. Not arrogantly in myself. It's in him. He did it. He is Lord. Glory to God forever. Read that again, 13. Colossians 2, 13. Yes, if you want to run around, just, you know, take off and run. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Look at that. Where were you when this happened? You were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Has he quickened? Past tense, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses? You were made alive together with him. Yeah, but that doesn't say we were seated in the same place. Okay, go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, and you can let go of Colossians until later when you go home and meditate on it. Hallelujah. Yes. Maybe just keep your finger in there. You're trying to serve up food. You still got your finger in your Bible. I don't want to lose my place. Don't want to lose my place. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Ephesians, thank you. Glory be to God forever. I don't know what I'd do without you guys here. I guess I'd be preaching at one of those empty pews, pretending they're not looking at me. I would have to pretend the pew's naked just to have enough confidence to get up here. Oh, brother. Glory be to God forever. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. This is Paul praying for the church. Who's he praying for? The church, us. We're the church now. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You are going to have some wisdom and revelation to understand what we've been talking about this morning and even what he's going to say. Why is he praying this for them? So that they can understand what he's going to say. You could say this to some people on the street and they'd be like, what? I got to go to 7-Eleven. It wouldn't get it. So he's praying for you that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes, verse 18, of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Is it possible? Why would he be praying this if it wasn't possible for people to live their whole life and never see this? Christians. He's praying for Christians. Do you understand? He's praying for Christians that they would have their eyes open so they could see this. That means you can be a Christian and not see this. Right? Is that deductive reasoning? I think it is. Glory be to God. But you're not going to have a problem with this. Your eyes are open. Glory be to God. Look what he wants you to see. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, personally know, what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know it. He's praying for you to know it. You got to have wisdom and revelation and your eyes are opened to know it. And verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What is this according to? This power is according to what? The operation of God. Faith. He said you had to believe in the faith of the operation of God when he raised him from the dead. There's exceeding great power there. This is where the great power is. Where's the power, brother? We must know where the power is. It's right here. But you got to have your eyes opened and you got to have wisdom and revelation to see the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's according to the working of his mighty power. This power, this exceeding great power is according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Who is the body of Christ? What's the lowest portion of a body of Christ, of a body? The foot is the lowest. The last skin cell on the bottom of the big toe or the ankle, okay, is the lowest in this body of Christ. Where have these principalities and powers been put? Under the feet of the body of Christ. What about death? I'm telling you, it's the last enemy. It is the last enemy to be put under his feet. The Bible said that Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God until that enemy is put under where? Under the body of Christ. Now you're really preaching resurrection. This isn't over until that happens. Faith in the operation of God. What operation? When he went from the lowest to the highest. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Why did they put this in the next chapter? I don't know. And who begins a chapter with and? I guess, and, yes. And you hath he, what? Quickened, made alive. You has he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Read down to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up, verse 6, together. Apart? He did it once and he did us? No. Together and made us sit. Where is Jesus seated? He made us sit together. Sit down. He made you sit. Some kids don't like that. Tough. Sit there. He's got children in the body of Christ running all over the place. Where are they? They're not seated where they're supposed to be. Right at the right hand of God. They're somewhere else. No wonder they're miserable and out of order. Take that. Seated. He made us sit. He made us sit in the heavenly places. Are you reading the same? And has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 7, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Who put that in there? God put it in there. The Holy Ghost wrote this. Why aren't there a lot of people seeing this and walking in it? Because their eyes haven't been opened. They don't have the spirit of revelation and wisdom to guide them through and to see what happened from the cross to the throne. And then to realize it's the same thing that they've received when they received Jesus as Lord. And they haven't been seated. They keep getting running around in all this other doctrine. Sit down in that authority that you're called to. That's where the power is. What does a king do? He's seated on his throne. He says, go dig a moat outside. Now, let's see. Make it 12 feet deep and 6 feet wide. I want it all the way around the castle. And then what's he do? He gets up and goes and does it himself, doesn't he? If he did, would he still be seated? Would he still be sitting in his authority? In fact, all the servants would look at him like, what is wrong with him? Did you see the king? I think he's lost it. He's out there digging the ditch himself. No, you have authority. The authority of the believer is in Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. Get up out of that chair, forget about it. You don't have authority when you're out of the chair. Does that make sense? Stay in the name. That's where your authority is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. Ha ha. Yay. If you like that one, you're going to love this one. Romans 5, 17. I don't know, brother. This sounds too good to be true. This is too good to be a lie. That would be mean. You do that? Tell your son, guess what? It's your birthday today. When you go outside, you're going to find a brand new gold bicycle made out of solid gold with turbine engines on it. Kid wakes up in the morning, goes out and looks, and it's not there. That's mean. Right? This would be mean of God to say that we're seated in his position and authority and say, oh, guess what? Now, in my name, go and preach to all the nations. Remember, I have the keys of hell and the grave. Ha ha, no, I really don't. I was lying. That would be mean. That is unlike God. God cannot lie. This is his word. He can't lie. And I'm not lying to you either. That's who you are. That's where you're seated. Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. Yes, amen. Shoo, where did I tell you to turn to? Romans 5:17, thank you. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, who would that one man be? That was Adam and his wife. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Much more. Much more than what Adam fell from. Do you understand that's what the scripture just said? Death reigned in the earth by one man. He fell, left, out of the garden. This says, much more shall we reign than what Adam reigned. Now, by one Jesus Christ. By who? By being in our authority. In that name, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, we reign greater than Adam in this earth. What have we been doing? We must have our eyes opened. Can you see that now? You got to have them opened. Remember Elijah the prophet, Gehazi? They're surrounded by the enemies. The enemy surrounded them. The prophet didn't want to get up. Whatever. Enemy, shmenemy. His servant was all freaked out. What are we going to do? Go get your gun. Threw it through the window. No. There's none of that. He says, go tell him he's not here. We're looking for Elijah the prophet, the one who, get us all upset. I'll just go tell him he's not here. I love that. And then you go, he says, God opens his eyes. God opens the prophet's eyes and he sees that there's more with us than there are with them. What changed his attitude? The servants. When he saw, when his eyes were opened, what's going to change your attitude about what we've been in this morning? When your eyes are open to the fact you are in this name, seated in this authority, according to the word, in the heavenly places, far over and above, you're king. Come back in here, you'll be wearing robe, crown. We've come to church. I'll be like, yes, amen. Glory to God. We've been living so far below. Was Adam a king in the garden? He was God in the earth. This says we're raised to greater than what Adam was in Jesus' name. Adam wasn't of every name in his name. Was he? Was he? Oh, the great name of Adam? No. When was the last time you met the name of Adam? Adam. you're seated in Jesus' name. His own name. Okay. Glory be to God. This says, let's read it again. For by one man's offense, death reigned. What? Death ruled by one. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. By two? By three? No, by one. You're going to reign in life by one thing. Being seated in that position in the authority of that name. That is your authority. That is the authority of the believer. Your authority is in the name of Jesus when you're seated in that name. Does that make sense? What if you leave that authority? What if you get out of your seat? Get back in. Thank you. That's the best thing to do. Otherwise, you're just wasting time. Go digging ditches. Doing it on your own. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Glory be to God forever. Acts chapter 4. You're going to reign in life. That's the point of this sermon here this morning. You were raised from the dead and seated together with him in the heavenly places. You were raised and seated with him. That's where you are, whether you know it or not. All the devil can do is trick you. Say, no, you aren't. You're somebody else. You're doing something else. And where are you then? You're out of your seat. Hallelujah. Sit back down. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Acts chapter 4, 7 through 12. Acts chapter 4, hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Even by him does this man stand before you whole. They're asking him, how'd you do this? By what authority? That's what he's saying. By what authority you do this? What did he proceed to tell them? Was by Jesus who was crucified, who was raised from the dead by the power of God. This is faith in the operation of the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Not just the name. We know people using the name all the time. Just like chattering something a parrot might say. But do they have faith in the operation? What happened from the cross to the throne? Because Jesus triumphed over this captive. This captivity captive. Faith in that operation. Faith in the name with the operation behind it brings to pass all good things. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. In that name. In that seating where you are. What's under your feet? All principalities, powers, mights, dominion. Can you say that? Yes. In Jesus' name, all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, sicknesses, diseases, anything else is under my feet, including death. Yeah. According to the word. Hallelujah. And at some point, Jesus is going to get up and stand up. But when is that going to be? When death has been put under his feet by the church being seated in that name. So we got our work cut out for us, don't we? We need to have faith in the operation of God that raised Jesus from the dead. You were seated in the same position. Well, sickness shouldn't be a problem for us anymore. It's a name. We give names to every single kind of sickness, don't we? Malaria. The botch of Egypt. It's a name. Where is it? It's under your authority. Yes. It's under your authority. If you don't do something about it, what's God going to do? Nothing. His hands are tied. He gave you the authority. Goodness. He gets you in the army and he says, here's your authority. Go do what I told you to do. And then you don't do it. And you come back to him. Why is it not working? It's because you're not doing it. You're the king now. Do your kingly thing. We're reigning in life by one Jesus Christ. So many churches and Christians are not reigning in life. They're reigning in death still. And whining. But we're not. We're learning. We're having our eyes opened. We're having wisdom come to us and understanding so that we can have faith in the operation of God and reveal that, hey, that's me. God gives you a vision of the throne of God. And all of a sudden, your eyes are opened up and you see who's sitting right next to him. Jesus and you right on his lap. That's where you are. If you've got a picture of yourself any other way, you know, I'm bowing before the throne, then your picture is wrong. According to the word, the church is at the right hand of the Father. We're in that name. We have authority over all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, every name that is named, and all sickness and disease and everything else. It's under our feet. And I believe that one day God is going to start to unveil to us, because it's contained in these scriptures, that death will be under our feet. There will be a generation whose eyes will be open to the fact that death is under their feet, and that's it. Then the call comes out with the big trumpets and everything else, and we're out of here. Thank you very much. But up to that point, let's put everything else under our feet. And none of us are going to die before our time then. If we have faith in the operation of God. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. I didn't read this whole thing. They said, look at verse 10. It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. How? By the man Jesus that was raised from the dead, this man stands before you whole. He was raised above this sickness. Do you understand? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Where is this name? Where has the name been given? It's been given among men. The least Christian in the body of Christ. The most smallest one. They enter into that name. It's given. Anyone can pick it up and take it. When did you pick it up? When you were all righteous and holy? No, when we were all losers and stinky. We picked it up and said, hey, look what I found. The name of Jesus. You had no idea what this was doing to you. Most Christians still don't. They have no idea what authority they are seated in. In that name. Faith in the operation of God. Glory be to God forever. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. I believe right now you have put faith into us in the operation of God that raised Jesus from the dead. We celebrate his life. We celebrate the glory of God that was conferred on him and on us at the same time. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this prayer that you would grant us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we would have our eyes open to see this glorious position we've been placed in, that we may have extreme faith in the operation of God that raised Jesus from the dead and live in the name and reign as kings in every area of our life on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.